Right, well, I'm joined today by theatre director Graham Watts, who's been described as a master of reviving classics. And he's here today to talk about a project established by the Lord Lieutenant of Essex, Jennifer Tolhurst, which aims to commission blue plaques on buildings in Essex, specifically involving women who've made significant contributions to Essex and the world. So welcome to Phoenix FM, Graham.
Yeah, nice to be here, Scott.
Now, how did this project come about?
It's quite odd, really. It's one of those lockdown projects. I was asked when we was in lockdown by a friend to write some articles about Essex for his magazine.
Yeah.
And one of them was about Margaret Cavendish, who I knew about a lot about because I've directed one of her plays. First time, in fact, one of her plays had been directed. And at the end, I wrote, you know what? Margaret Cavendish really should be commemorated in Essex. And then when I read it back, I thought, you know, I'm going to do something about this. So I sent an email to Mrs. Tolhurst, the Lord Lieutenant of Essex, not really thinking I would get a response. And almost immediately got an email back, and Mrs. Tolhurst said, yes, you're absolutely right. We should be not only celebrating Margaret and her achievements, but other women in Essex too. And a few days later, she got back to me and she said, I'm forming this very small committee of just five people, which I'd like you to be part of, the Essex Women's Commemoration Project, and with the brief to increase the amount of plaques around the county celebrating the achievements of women. And so that all that happened very, very quickly, and we've been working on it for the last year, and we're just about to launch our first one.
Now, this particular project, it's running particularly, I think, up until the end of next year, isn't it, for the Queen's Jubilee?
Yeah, that was Mrs. Tolhurst's idea that obviously the majority of them will start going out later this year and next year in celebration of Her Majesty's Jubilee, which I thought was a really nice touch, actually, to tie those two things together. I should say it's not paid for by Essex or indeed by Her Majesty or anybody else. We work in partnerships with local civic societies, historical groups, and sometimes in conjunction with companies, people who own the property or the land or whatever. And it's right across Essex, from Harwich all the way down here in Brentwood, Basildon, Canvey, Southend, Colchester,
but Chelmsford. The Essex as it is today.
It is. It's been one of the unfortunate ones that because the Lord Lieutenancy of Essex no longer includes what we'd call the old Essex, which unfortunately is Havering, which is now
in
London, of course. So all those wonderful women that we found in the boroughs of Havering and Romford, Upminster, you know, all those, Hornchurch, we personally can't celebrate them. However, we are encouraging people to join us, shall we say.
Seems like a good idea.
You know, see what you can do.
Who are the other members of the group?
The four deputy lieutenants. Julia Abel-Smith, Juliet Townsend, Roy Clare, and James Betley. And they've got enormous experience. For example, Roy was director of the Maritime Museum, National Maritime Museum in Greenwich, for example. So he brings that to the table. And they're a lovely team, really knowledgeable team, and we've worked very, very well together.
Now, as you said, you're unveiling a plaque marking the birthplace of the English philosopher, poet, scientist, writer and playwright. My word, she had a lot of credits there. Margaret Lucas Cavendish, who, unlike many women authors of her time, actually wrote under her own name. And, of course, you recently, as you just say, directed one of her plays.
Yeah, I mean, they're quite hard to find. You can only find them in the British Library because she self-published and then gave them the copies out to friends and thing, you know, and people she knew, the King, for example, and that sort of thing, you know. So I picked that up in the British Library, had a transcript made of it, put it on stage, and of course it was extremely successful.
But people you did it twice, in fact.
I did it twice. I did it recently with a cast in India. And they were spread right across India, you know, so literally, you know, Chennai, Mumbai, New Delhi, down in Kerala and stuff. And so I got this group of, who didn't know each other, just disparate actors spread all over India. And we did it as a kind of online presentation. So that's available for people to see online, The Unnatural Tragedy. So you can see it in some of the work on YouTube.
Now, as you said that Margaret is the first foray into the establishment of blue plaques, but so what is the criteria for the other blue plaque recipients?
Well, unfortunately, you have to be dead. That's the kind of downside.
Well, I offered it to Michelle just now.
It might be bad luck. You yes. better check on it.
Yeah.
And what we take as our guide is the National Dictionary of Biography. So if you're in that, if you're considered, you know, notable enough to be in that, then you're notable enough to have a plaque. That's as a general rule. There are exceptions to that, obviously. But yeah, they've got to have made a significant contribution. It's not us saying, "Oh, give the ladies a chance for a change." It's sweet, give her a plaque. Well, it's not. These are truly remarkable women who have contributed not just to Essex, of course, but worldwide, and they should be recognised in some way. I mean, most people wouldn't have heard of Margaret Cavendish. You know,
I confess I hadn't heard of her before, but I understand that she actually had the title of Duchess of Newcastle, although she actually had never lived or even visited there, was born in Colchester.
Yeah, they made that title up for her husband, William Cavendish, because he was a royalist general and fought on the king's side and obviously financed the army himself, lost and had to flee to Belgium, as it is now, in Antwerp, with Margaret, his wife. And as some sort of compensation, because the king didn't have any money, he was given this title of the Duke of Newcastle, first Duke of Newcastle.
So once the monarchy was re-established, it was payback time.
It was payback time, absolutely. So she sort of just inherited that title. But the first 20 years of her life, of course, were spent entirely in Colchester. She was born in Colchester.
Yes. Now, the event that you're having, when is this actually taking place?
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's coming up soon. It's Wednesday, the 22nd of September, at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. If people know Colchester, it's at the Abbey Gate, which is not far from Colchester Town Station, a train station, a short walk from there. It's the only part of her home, her family home, which still exists. Mm-hmm. And there's a wall just the other side of the medieval arch, as it were, which is where the blue plaque will go. Her home was destroyed by the parliamentarian soldiers, after the siege of Colchester. Because her brother, Charles Lucas, was a very famous general. Mm-hmm. They took him out and shot him, basically, in Colchester Castle, and razed the property where the family had come from completely to the ground. So the Abbey Gate's the only place that still exists.
And is this event open to the general public, and do you require tickets or anything of that nature?
Not at all. Of course, one of the objectives is to inspire women and girls across the county. So we very much welcome, you know, people coming along, seeing it. You know, there's a QR code on the plaque, for example, so people can put their mobile phones and find out more about Margaret, and of course all these other women. So yeah, it's the first, and Mrs. Tolhurst will obviously unveil this particular one, but there will be others throughout the year across the county celebrating women.
And talking about Margaret, I think it's worth pointing out that she had a pretty colourful existence.
What are you thinking of?
Well, I'm thinking. I mean, first of all, her father got involved in. He was extradited or sent to the continent because he'd fought a duel. Yeah. As you say, her husband's estate was sequestered originally. There's a whole host of things there.
Yeah. In fact, because the father had to go to the continent, it meant that his son was born out of wedlock.
Right.
So his son never inherited the estate. It was the second son that did it, because legally it wasn't there. Margaret was a colourful character. Her husband also wrote plays, and in the Restoration, she turned up at a premiere of his plays. Remember, this is like 1667, something like that. Topless.
She turned up topless.
So making her the first in a long line of Essex page free girls, you know. They had, you know, and remember the interregnum from Cromwell and so on, you know, which obviously was a theocracy. It's just a few years before. And there she is, turning up bold as brass. Well, you can imagine it yourself, I'm sure.
Well, Now, as you've mentioned, you've got more plaques to come. Mm. So can you give us a bit of a lowdown? Some of them that might be coming up.
Yeah, I mean, all different fields. The range is extraordinary of women from this county who have, you know, been outstanding in all kinds of different fields. But people,
she was very outstanding.
People will know Peggy Mount, for example.
Indeed.
You know, very much a national treasure. Nothing to commemorate Peggy Mount. So
Ada Larkin.
She was indeed. People might remember Eileen Fowler as well, who was one of the first sort of television keep fit personalities.
Yes.
And during the war, of course, on the radio, she would be broadcasting keep fit programs. Didn't know quite how that worked, but anyway, she did. And somebody like Philippa Wharton from Waltham Abbey, who in the 1700s founded a gun, inherited from her husband a gunpowder factory.
Right.
And she took over this gunpowder factory, redid the whole manufacturing process, made this amazing business, which of course supplied the British Navy and the British Army throughout the Napoleonic times and things, you know. So if it wasn't for her, you'd be speaking French, you know.
Well, you've certainly got to, you've done a lot of homework on this.
And my colleagues.
Very interesting people as well. So do you have a time scale at all for the next plaques?
No, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, as and when people are ready, you know, because
right.
sometimes it's to do with where the location is, because obviously you can't just go and put a plaque on a wall and then run away. You know, there might be, for example, planning issues or traffic issues or something like that. But once it's funded, and as I say, it can be funded privately. The Margaret Cavendish one is funded by the builders, Taylor Wimpey, for example.
Yeah.
Once they say, yep. We go ahead, we have a manufacturer who works for us, who makes the plaques for us, and away you go. And as and when they become available, we will be putting them up. So watch out from all over Essex.
All right. Well, thanks very much indeed for that, Graham. And good luck with the first, I don't know what to call it, celebration, I suppose.
Yeah, celebration. Yeah.